Oh, that's right. We're right here this afternoon, and I tell you what, I have one of my favorites right here sitting across the table from me this afternoon. Prudence Taylor, of course, is the head librarian over there at the Greenwood Library, and I tell you what, understand it's a cool place to be, but I am going to read a comment that was put on Facebook, Prudence, about you when we announced earlier today that this was going to be coming up. I'm going to go ahead and tell you. Bob Roy said, Prudence Taylor is one of Greenwood's least recognized treasures. She is a wonderful person and an extremely valuable asset to our community.
That is so very, very kind.
Isn't that nice? I tell you what.
We do. That's
Bob Roy, yes.
Yes. I have to put a gold star next to his name.
Exactly. Exactly. So, of course, he does work at the Index Journal, so he's probably be coming by to see you for some advertising, Prudence. But anyways, that was really, really nice. And of course, Bob, of course, is a big reader, and we used to be at Walden Books when we had,
yes,
Walden Books at the mall years and years ago. So I know he appreciates the fact that you're there and able to guide and help and do so many good things right there at the library.
He's a good reader, he makes some recommendations for me, too. So I really appreciate it. I love to talk about books. With most people.
With most people. There you go. Well, I know that I saw that there were a lot of the summer reading list or something. Did I see a summer reading list here in my stuff? I
thought you should have seen a summer program list.
Summer program list. Okay. You didn't put out a list of books that people should be reading this summer?
No? Well, I did books for the beach for adults, and
yeah,
some of those, it's for people to relax and read.
Right.
There are books that I have read, actually, this time, I've read all of them, and they're things that I recommend that I think people will enjoy.
Sure.
Some of them are light, some of them are not. One of my favorite books that I read this year was Dead Wake by Eric Larson. And it was a difficult book to read because it's about the sinking of the Lusitania, but it was very, very good. He's one of my favorite writers anyway, but I enjoyed the book.
God, I thought your favorite writer is Harper Lee.
Well, she is.
she was in the news about a little while ago. Yeah.
That's right. She has a book coming out in July called Go Set a Watchman, and it is a prequel, not a prequel, but she wrote it before she wrote To Kill a Mockingbird. And it has the characters, Atticus and Scout, and I think Jim is in it too. I haven't read the book yet. It hasn't come out yet and won't be coming out till towards the middle of the month, I think. But the library does have copies on order, and people can come in, and or you don't even have to come in if you've got a computer at home. You can put it on hold, but it isn't available yet.
I guess you'll be getting one of the first copies, right?
No.
No.
Actually, I had to buy my own copy.
You
so
had to buy your own copy?
I had to buy my own copy. No, I'm really nice that way. I used to work for someone who, not in Greenwood, never in Greenwood, but at another library. And she would put her name ahead of the list, ahead of everyone on the list. And since sometimes that would knock me down to number 10 or 30 or one time 79.
Now you remember this, don't you, Bruce?
Yes, I do.
She
yes,
never
indeed.
Forgets anything, folks. Yes.
So I just thought, I am never going to do that. If I'm ever the director of a library, I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to treat anybody that way. If we've got a lot of requests, I'm just going to buy my own copy. And that's what I decided to do with Harper Lee's Go Set a Watchman.
And you know, it's been a long time since she's had a book now, Prudence.
Yes. Her publisher, I think, got her to dust off this old manuscript. It was one of the ones that she was working with when she wrote To Kill a Mockingbird, but she worked for years on To Kill a Mockingbird, and she got so frustrated with it one night that she was living in New York. She opened her apartment window and threw the manuscript of To Kill a Mockingbird out the window. Then she called her editor and told her what she'd done. And the editor told her to go outside right then and pick up every single page. And Harper Lee pointed out that it was miserably cold and it was snowing. And the editor said she didn't care. Harper Lee needed to go out there and get every single page she tossed out the window. And that's what she did. And so I am so grateful to that editor, because To Kill a Mockingbird is one of my absolute all-time favorite books.
I know. I can see the editor saying, personally, my dear, I don't give a darn.
I think she was one of those people who was very hard to work with. I don't know why I think that. Well, I do know. I had read the book The Mockingbird Next Door, which came out last year. This woman had written a book about Harper Lee and living next door to her, and she wrote about some of the people in Harper Lee's life and her sister Alice Lee's life. And she thought that she had permission to do it, but Harper Lee withdrew that. And so I thought, well, I don't know what I'm quite to make of this, but it was a very interesting book. Hmm. And the library does have a copy.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the discussions that I think is always out there is on the viability of libraries, and yet you're telling me the library is busier than ever right now.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I don't think that we will ever get rid of public libraries as we know them. I love science fiction. And you will see where, in a science fiction movie, for example, I can't remember which one it was, but there was a virtual librarian, and he would just, a hologram of him would appear, and he would answer people's questions, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. But people still needed that semi-personal touch. The other thing is the library serves everybody, so we have a lot of people who either can't afford to have computers at home or the internet at home, or whose spouses will not allow them to have the internet at home or computers at home because it doesn't fit with their home decor.
Their home decor? Sounds like an actual story there, Prudence.
There was a gentleman who used to come into the library. It was before we moved. We were still down across the street from the theater and the museum. And his wife refused to let him have a computer at home because it didn't go with any of her furniture. And so he would come to the library and use the computer down there. And then he decided he liked it better down there anyway, because there were people to help him with the computers. There were people to help him with printing. There were people to help him with the internet.
Wow. So, you said you'd just be so busy going into the summer. You've got that nice computer lab.
We do. We have a lot of people who come in and use it. If you want to apply for a job at McDonald's as a fry cook, you have to do it online. And so we have a lot of people who come in to apply for jobs, who come in to look for jobs. We have people who are going online and doing job training. It's really wonderful. People are using the library and its resources the way it's meant to be used. I did get a complaint a few weeks ago from, never mind who it was from, but the person was complaining because the library is so noisy. And that's true. It is a very, very noisy place, especially on days when we have the children in. We have a special program or something, because we always have children in there, but there are days when we have more than we normally do. And we've gone back to our old mantra that we had in the old library, which is, we have a respectful library. Mm-hmm. We do not have a quiet library. But we have so many people coming in and using it. There's noise just in going up and down the stairs. Even though we have an elevator, most people use the stairs. We have our children's room is busy. Our teen center is busy. That's for kids in grades 6 through 12. And we have a lot of students coming in this summer. And I'm so glad to see them, because middle school is when we start losing kids. It's when kids, they stop reading. Mm-hmm. And that's when they start losing the ability to read and understand what they read. And it doesn't sound like it might be that serious, but it really is, because
they're students. I have talked to people that say that you can lose the ability to read, and the first time I heard that, I was blown it away. But I have heard that several times. If you don't read, you can lose that ability.
Absolutely. That's one reason our literacy program for adults is so important. We have some very good success stories. Now, the program started in February of 2012. Lois Strauss, and she's been on your program,
right. Mm-hmm.
But Lois Strauss is the coordinator, and she's done an excellent job. It's all of our tutors are volunteers, and they work with our students, who are all adults. But we had one man who had graduated from high school, and he could read when he graduated from high school. He got a job with Greenwood Mills. He thought he would be there forever because his father and grandfather had been there forever. Well, he was laid off. He had not picked up a book, a magazine, or a newspaper since he graduated from high school. Here he was in his 30s, and he could not read well enough to be retrained. He wanted to go for a class a series of classes at Piedmont Tech, and he couldn't read well enough to get into Piedmont Technical College. So, which is not that easy to do. I don't want to make it sound like it is. I've taken classes over there myself, and they're excellent courses.
How quickly did he pick it back up, though?
It took him over a year.
Wow.
It took him over a year, and he was working very hard at it, but because he had not practiced, he was working with a tutor, he was working with an online program, and he had workbooks as well, but it took him over a year to regain that skill, to read well enough and to understand what he read well enough to be able to go through training at Piedmont Technical College.
Absolutely. So that's the thing. If you know how to read, you need to continue to read. And in many jobs today, you have to be able to read.
Well, to read and understand what you're reading.
Right.
And it also helps you. If you lose that job, you can always go for more training. You can always do something else, but not if you can't read. That's one thing that has always irritated me about the internet. People, I can remember when it first came out, people said, we don't need libraries anymore because we have the internet. Well, the library is the only place you can go and use the internet, use computers for free. They do have places here in town. I won't call them by name. You can go in and you can use the internet. But you have to buy a cup of coffee. You have to buy a hamburger. You have to do something to be a customer to stay in there. And there's nothing wrong with that. Those places are in business.
Sure.
Offering free internet access is an incentive to bring people in.
Sure.
But if you want to use the internet for free, to use a computer for free, the library is the place to go. The other thing that used to irritate me was that people said, well, I won't have to be able to read because I can just speak into my computer. Well, they do have voice activation now, but those programs are expensive and they don't take into consideration our Southern accents.
Well, I would think the other thing, it would actually be a little slower. You know, to be mm-hmm. able to respond and go back and forth, that would be a problem too, Prudence.
I don't know. I have Siri in my car.
Right.
And I was trying to tell Siri where to take me one place just to see if it would work. I actually
right.
knew how to get there, fortunately, because if I had followed those directions, I'd have wound up in Saluda.
There you go. Is it your Southern accent?
I think so.
I think so. Hey, I'm Ann Eller. I'm here with Prudence Taylor. She's the executive director over there at the Greenwood County Library. We'll be right back. If you got a question for Prudence, pick up that phone. Give us a call. 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We are right here this afternoon just having a good time sitting here talking about the library, things going on at the library. You know, Prudence, how long has the new library been here, been open?
We opened the first weekend in October of 2010. We opened that Sunday afternoon, and we've been open ever since except for weather issues, when it snowed or there was an ice storm or something like that. But we've always had, it's always gotten good use. I feel like it was a very good investment for the county because people use it all the time. It's one of the few places you can come in. It's cool in there, so if your air conditioning isn't working or isn't working well enough, or if you don't even have air conditioning, it's a great place to come and relax and read.
You know, I think one of the nice things is that we've got a new library, but then the use of the old library as the Veterans Center and as the Hall of Heroes Museum and everything has been fantastic, what's happened there at the old library.
I completely agree. If there's anything Greenwood does not need, it is empty boxes. So I applaud the county council and the veterans for getting together and for making that building work.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of time gone into it, but it sure looks great, doesn't it? Yeah.
It's a good building. It was just too small.
Right.
And the children's room was close to the door. There was no other place to move them, and so it wasn't as safe as it needed to be. But for adults, it's perfect. It's fine.
Yeah, it's just, I think it's great that we have two buildings that now really work. Now, you've got some summer programs coming up. I'm kind of thinking that maybe you want to participate in the teen summer programs because you seem really excited about particularly a couple of them.
Yes. Well, the library, we have this wonderful teen center for students in grades 6 through 12. It's filled with books, with books on CD, with graphic novels that our teens will enjoy reading. It's books, it's materials especially chosen for this age group. But we also have programs there. Dungeons and Dragons is a great program that's played every Wednesday evening. Adrian Little is in charge of that, and he is a wonderful player, and he can teach people who don't know anything about Dungeons and Dragons how to play. Another program that they're doing is a craft program. They did one earlier this summer called Evil Villains, where people made minions, and they were very creative. They have one coming up in July called Monsters Attack Villainous Art, so I think that's going to be wonderful. They also offer the teen program, the teen summer reading program. If you read five books, just five books, you get a T-shirt, and the T-shirts are great. I wanted one, but they wouldn't let me have one because I'm not a teen.
Did you read five books?
So far, I've read 54 books. But it wasn't
like
good enough.
I think you could have bent the rules a little bit for the executive director here. Now, one of the things we need to talk about is a lot of these programs, too, come from the Friends of the Library.
Oh, all of them are sponsored by the Friends of the Library. I take it back with our summer program. We had Donna Washington come to kick it off, and she was sponsored by a grant we received from the South Carolina State Library. But everything else, all of our craft programs, all of our puppets, we have the Gray Seal puppets coming. Everyone else is sponsored by the Friends of the Greenwood County Library. Memberships are very inexpensive. I think you can join the Friends for $10, and that goes to pay for our teen programs. It goes to buy the materials for our craft programs for both our children and our teens. And it brings in these special storytellers and puppeteers. And this is a wonderful opportunity for our children to experience a performance that they might not otherwise be able to afford.
Sure.
Or enjoy. So it's
a win-win situation.
Absolutely. The money, I feel, is very well spent.
And there are things that you wouldn't be able to necessarily get into the budget if you didn't have the Friends of the Library doing this.
We would still have a summer reading program, but I can tell you right now, we wouldn't have people like the Gray Seal puppets coming. We wouldn't be able to do, we wouldn't have the Critter Keeper coming. If you like animals, you will want to come to that. If you like creepy crawlies, you'll want to make arrangements with someone else to take your children. But we wouldn't have had the magician come. So the friends make such a difference, and it doesn't take much to become. It doesn't take much money to become a member of the friends. The friends also pay for the books that we use in the adult book discussion groups too. So we rely very heavily on our friends to help us provide programming to promote literacy. This year we'll also be doing...
We'll talk about that when we come back, because right now it's time for us to hear South Carolina radio news. Don't you go away.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, this afternoon. I am talking with my friend Prudence Taylor, and of course she is the executive director over there at the Greenwood Library. If you have a problem, don't call her. No, I'm just teasing. You'd like that, though, wouldn't you?
No, yeah. I'm not going to answer that.
Okay, all right. But, I mean, you know, I think the good thing is, now, roughly how many people have library cards? Because I know that's always been something you've been proud of, is how many people actually have cards and are able to use the library in our county.
We have almost 70,000 people in our county, and more than 45,000 of them have and use a library card.
That's awesome.
It really is. Especially when you look at the numbers at some of the other libraries, which I know you should never compare your library to another one.
Yeah, right.
And I would never do that, really.
But
having said that, I look at some of the other libraries that are a similar size, similar population in their county, and maybe a third or a quarter of their people, of their citizens, have and use a library card. So I love the fact that Greenwood's residents are so anxious and so willing to use the library. And yes, if you do have a problem with the library, please do let me know. I really do want to know. Customer service is very important to us, and I may not be able to break a law for you, because I have had a couple of people who were upset about some things there. But if I possibly can help you, if you do have a problem, I do want to do that.
Absolutely. Now, but why do you think we have such a high usage at the library, Prudence? What do you attribute it to then?
I think a lot of it is because we have such a strong children's program. When the library first opened in 1901, they really didn't encourage children to come. It was chiefly a library for adults and for students. And then the Kiwanis Club changed all of that in 1928. They went in and renovated the children's room. Mm-hmm. They gave money to buy more books. They guaranteed the salary of the children's librarian for 5 years.
Wow.
And they kept their word. This took them right up through 1933. And then they also bought furniture, child-sized furniture, and we still have one of the old tables that came from that original library. It was a Carnegie Library, and it was where the city courthouse is now. And they just did an amazing job, but people got in the habit of bringing their children to the library, of using the library themselves, and I think that is where we saw the really big boom. Another thing, and this is not necessarily a good thing, but Greenwood has gone through some tough economic times. Mm-hmm. When I came in 1997, that December, the unemployment rate was 3.5%. Which is
hard
nothing.
To remember, isn't it?
Really?
Yeah.
Because you always have people who are not going to be able to work, who are not able to keep a job. I mean, Jesus said the poor will always be with you, and he was right. But our unemployment, I think, got up to 13%. And people came to use the library because they couldn't afford to buy books, because they couldn't afford to have the internet at home. They couldn't afford to replace their computers. They came to the library to use to attend programs. They came to their library to use materials. They got in that habit, and I think we're still seeing that. The other thing is, and I think this was something that we saw when I've looked back at statistics from World War II at the national level, not at the local level, not at the Greenwood level, but when I look at them at the national level, people use the library very heavily during World War II because reading can take you away from a difficult time. Mm-hmm. And it may just give you a break in your mind, in your imagination, but it helps.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Not only that, I think you've got a great place where people upstairs can read magazines and newspapers. This whole thing, you know, is a great area when you talk about taking that break and just getting away for a little while. Just sit down there. It looks nice out over the uptown Greenwood there. You're learning about the history of your family tree and this type of thing.
The genealogy.
Genealogy, that's the word I was looking for. Has been a real nice addition.
I think so. It's been a good place to keep our materials. And it's staffed completely by volunteers. We are so grateful to our volunteers. If it weren't for them, we wouldn't have the literacy program that we have at all. Greenwood would not have a literacy program. The library didn't develop its literacy ESL program until the Greenwood Literacy Council closed its doors. And then we wouldn't have, the genealogy room would not be open. It would not be as available for people as it is, and we have all of that because of our wonderful volunteers.
Absolutely. You know, and one of the things that I think is so great is the languages that you can learn through the Mango Language Department, and you can do that as long as you have a library card on any language at any time, whether you're here in Greenwood or across the country or getting ready to go out of town, out of the country.
That's exactly right. We started, I got a grant so that we could have Mango, and we also allowed us to buy Dollar General's Literacy Foundation,
right,
and the American Library Association and the American Dream Grant. And that allowed us to offer Mango to our ESL students. But it also allowed us to offer these language programs or language lessons in all different languages.
Even talking like a pirate.
That's right. Yes, if you want to know what ARG means.
Yes.
I don't know what it means.
Yeah, we did it live on the radio here. It was a lot of fun. In fact, we repeated that program just a few weeks ago, Prudence, because it was so much fun and got so much response.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
But when I went to Kenya, I wanted to at least be able to say hello, and I learned Jambo Jambo. That's what I remember now. Oh, and also Hakuna Matata. But I thought that was just Disney,
right,
Swahili, but it turns out those are actual words.
How about that?
I know.
And you would have never known that.
That's exactly right. It means no worries.
And no worries. And she uses that all the time now.
Yes. It is something I have taken with me.
It was a good takeaway from your Mango learning class. Yes.
That's right.
And a trip. And by the way, a trip to Kenya.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. So, but there's all kinds of uses for that, whether you really want to learn the language or you want to learn just, what shall we call it, tourist language, the stuff to be able to get by when you are going to an area.
Absolutely. If you're taking a cruise, you need, and you're going down into down around the Horn, you need to be able to ask, "Donde es barca? Where is the ship?" Because you
how
need
do
to be,
I get there?
You need to be able to get back. If you've gotten off and you're shopping, you need to be able to get into a taxi and say, "Donde es barca?" So you can get back to your ship.
See? These are things, and as long as you have a library card, you can go right on the library website, correct?
Yes.
And just, it's got a tab on the left-hand side, a navigation. Mm-hmm. That
it's part of our digital library, and it's also with our Second Start, which is the name of our literacy ESL program. And we also have books on that you can download. We have ebooks, we have audio books that you can download.
And don't you even have some movies?
We do, yes.
Yep. Okay,
we
see?
Do indeed.
And so, those all are free?
They're all free. All it takes is a library card.
Wow.
And you have to have internet access at your home or business, wherever you're using them. However, if you don't have that, it's still not a problem. This is something we've seen adult children give their parents e-readers for Christmas. And we offer lessons in using e-readers and using tablets. We have Tech Tuesdays. You can come, you can call in, make an appointment, and meet with a reference librarian. Show her your phone, your camera, your e-reader, your tablet, your laptop, and we can help you set it up and use it. And we're more than happy to do that.
That's terrific.
A lot of times we'll do it for you.
Wow. Okay. Well, there are good things at the Greenwood County Library. Summertime is a great time to get out and stop in and get familiar with all the things that are at the library. Right now, we're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about what is Greenwood going to be reading this fall? Hey, you stay right here. We'll be right back.
Layaway. We've done it for over 30 years here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So whether it's Christmas, a birthday, an anniversary, or just because, we know layaway every day. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery. Need more info? Call us 229-6613. That's 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. We're right here across the table from me this afternoon. Prudence Taylor is with me. And every year, there is a book that everybody gets involved in, whether you're in school or the adults get together and talk about it. What's going to be the book this year, Prudence?
Well, this year, the featured title for Greenwood Reads is The Boy Who Harnessed the Wind by William Kemkwamba and Brian Mealer. William Kemkwamba is a young African man, and when he was a boy, his father was a farmer, and they were very poor. There had been a drought. A new government had come in. The new president was not a farmer, so he had made seed very expensive, and with a drought, they just couldn't afford for this boy to go to school. And he loved learning. He especially loved science. And in his part of the country, your parents not only have to pay for you to go to school, they also have to buy your uniform and your books for you. He attended school as long as he could, and finally the school administration called him in and said, "We can't carry you anymore." So he had to leave school, but the U.S. Army had established a library before they left the area. So he would go to the library every day, and he had a dictionary, a Swahili English dictionary, and he would take that dictionary and he would take books with lots of pictures, and he tried to teach himself English that way. One of the books that he picked up, as I said, he loved science. One of the books he picked up was about windmills. Mm-hmm. And so he taught himself to build a windmill, and the people in his village made fun of him because he used junk. He used things that people had thrown away to build his
like
windmill.
Like a bicycle wheel? And...
Yes, the part of a bicycle. Old parts of ladders.
Right.
You know, I look at this and some of the things that he used that he climbed on, I would be terrified to climb on. But, of course, you're 14. Nothing right. bad is ever going to happen to you. And I think that's true for, you know, almost any country that you live in. The young just don't have a sense of danger. But anyway, he built a windmill and he powered a battery so that his parents were able to have light in one room of their house, electric light. And he built another windmill, a larger one, that powered a stronger battery so that they had lights in all the little rooms in their home, and then they were also able to have their radio work. He has given two TED talks, technology and entertainment talks, and the first time that he gave a talk, he was so nervous he forgot his English. And so the moderator went on stage when he saw this young man just standing there grasping for words. And he interviewed him and helped him explain what it was that he had done and what his goals had been. The second time he did a TED talk, he was a student at Dartmouth. Because of his
scholarship,
he got a full ride, not only to Dartmouth, but they sent him to prep school. Because he really wasn't prepared for a college-level studies. when he did his first TED Talk, and so they were able to get scholarships for him, and he attended a prep school, and then he went on to Dartmouth. And his goal was to take his learning back to his country to improve life for the people in his village, and then to improve life for the people in his country. And he wanted to build a series of windmills so that people could not only have electricity in their homes, but they could also irrigate their fields. So it's just an amazing, amazing, inspiring story. And it's a true story. And it's one something that went out to all of the high schools in Greenwood School District 50, 51, and 52. We've always had the English classes participate in Greenwood Reads. We've usually had the history classes participate, but this year we also had the science classes participate, so we're just really happy about that. And of course, adults will be participating. The Classics Old and New Book Discussion Group at the library will be participating, as well as our book discussion groups in our branches. And then at First Baptist Church, there is a group that reads secular books, and they will be reading this one as well.
Well, I just wonder, Prudence, do you think that we can still spark that enthusiasm to create?
I think so. I read about people like this, and yes, this is this young man is in Africa, but I think we can find that here in our own country. The library is working with a museum, and we're hoping to be able to do an interactive exhibit on sustainable energy.
Wow.
To go along with Greenwood Reads.
Well, that's kind of interesting, because that does kind of go along with the museum and their electricity exhibit that they have down there at the museum.
Absolutely. They are wonderful partners.
Right.
I can't say enough good things about Bethany Wade and Stacy Thompson. They are such great partners.
Yeah, because that's from
the Franklin Institute.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's kind of interesting that you all are kind of doing the same type of topic as far as electricity and whatnot.
It's planned.
It's planned.
Yeah,
okay.
It's not a coincidence.
It's not a coincidence. Well, there you go. Yes. Now, you've got a great movie, too, that you're looking forward to showing as part of this, too.
Absolutely. It's called The First Grader, and it was made by National Geographic, but it's not a documentary, which surprised me, because when I think of National Geographic, documentaries is what I think of. But this is based on the true story of a man named Maruge. He was an old Mau Mau warrior. He was in his 80s, and he did not know how to read. His government announced that education would be free. So he went down to the school to register. There were over 200 children and their parents down there registering for school, for free school, but the school had only 50 desks.
Wow.
And so he really wanted to go to learn to read. It was very important
to him.
He was 80. He was in his 80s.
Yep.
And he had to convince a teacher to allow him to take one of those spaces.
And
but
he did.
He was able to do that. So this is a very inspiring story. It is based on a true story. It is not a documentary. It is a fictional movie.
Right.
There's a better word for it than that, but I can't think of what it is.
That's okay. But and you'll be showing that in the fall?
And we'll be showing this one in October.
In October.
And the books, as long as we have them, we have a few free copies of The Boy Who Harnessed the Wind, and we'll be giving those out until we run out. We'll start giving those out in September.
So something to look forward to. And then, of course, you'll be doing lots of discussions. In fact, there'll be discussions in the schools about this.
Yes. And then Donna Washington, who is an African-American storyteller, will be coming. She will end the program at the end of October. She'll be performing in the schools. And then there will be a performance for the public at the Ware Shoals Community Library at 10 o'clock on either October 29th or 30th, but I will have more information about that later.
Well, we'll have to see about having her on the radio with us.
Yes.
We always like to do that. In fact, we just
And she
had,
will be here.
Yeah, she will be here. And I tell you what, you know, we had Tim Lowry here last week, I think it was. He was, of course, you brought him to us when you were doing the Greenwood Reads last time.
Yes.
And he was going to be over there in Abbeville and in McCormick. And we had a great conversation about about the stories and the history and everything. It's just phenomenal what you can learn and how lively history can actually become.
It can be a lot of fun. A lot of times people look at a book and think that it's just dry facts, but when you get the stories behind
the story,
you know, it is just, it can be so much fun. It can be so interesting.
Yes. So that always a story to particularly good storytellers, you know, they just do such awesome things for sparking interest, particularly, I think, in reading.
Absolutely. I know Tim Lowry, when he was here, focused on the American Revolution and stories about soldiers and life and some of the famous people that a lot of our students didn't know about. Donna Washington will be here. She'll be talking about, she'll be telling stories, African folk tales, but she'll also be telling some scary ghost stories too, because that's right at Halloween.
Yes,
I know. So I'm really looking forward to having her come. She did our kickoff for our summer reading program at the beginning of June, and she was wonderful then. We think she'll be great with our teens too, because that's a tougher audience.
Yeah, they are kind of tough. They're tough for everybody, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
No question.
No questions. Well, you know, becoming a member of the Friends of the Library brings a lot of these people that we've been talking about and programs right here to Greenwood. So, you know, we should tell people that they need to be part of Friends of the Library one more time, don't we?
Absolutely. The dues are $10 each, or not $10 for a family, but $10 for an individual, $25 for a family. But the rewards are go way beyond that.
That's right. And they also work. In fact, you have room for volunteers. You have volunteers that work right down there as the entrance when they come right into the library?
Yes, we do. We have 125 volunteers.
125 volunteers. I can remember when you had 20, Prudence.
I can remember when we had one.
Hey, you know, you're listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. Just a little bit more about the Friends of the Library. There's an individual, a family, and is there a corporate membership too, or I don't
there
remember.
Is a corporate membership, but most people belong either to the individual or the family.
The family.
And as I said, we've tried to keep the prices low so that people can afford to join. And if you volunteer at the library, you automatically are made a member of the Friends. You get to pick where you want to work. If you think you would like to work in the children's room and you try it and you find that you really don't want to, we move you immediately. You are not stuck.
You do not have to stay there.
No.
And I suppose, like most organizations, you're very worker-friendly, meaning if they have a vacation, they have something coming up, it's not a problem. You'll work around their schedule.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Because we realize there are a lot of places in Greenwood that you could volunteer your time, and we appreciate your volunteering at the library.
That's right. And when you come right in the doors on the right-hand side, there's all those books that people bring in and donate, too.
Those, we have our Friends bookstore there.
Right.
Most of those are donations. They're things that we can't use. When people bring in books to donate to the library, or books on CD, or videotapes or DVDs, we go through them first to see if we can use them at the main library or at one of our branches in 96 or Ware Shoals or on our bookmobile. If we can't, then we'll put it into our book sale.
And they're very reasonable.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
You can buy a new book that has been read by maybe one person. It costs $25 at the bookstore. You can buy it for $2, read it yourself, and then if you've kept it in good shape, you can give it as a Christmas gift.
That's right.
Not that I would know anything
about
that.
No, you wouldn't re-gift anything, would you?
Never.
Never. Okay. But, you know, that is the fun thing. And then, of course, we do need to mention that twice a year, the Friends of the Library always have their big book sale.
Yes, they do. And that's where a lot of this money comes from. When you buy a book at the book sale,
for 50 cents or a dollar.
Yes. Or if you wait till the last day, you can
get a whole bag.
You can get a bag for $5. You can, and you get to fill the bag.
Right.
But that's where the money comes from to pay for a lot of these programs.
Yeah, it is. It is phenomenal what they're able to do. So become a friend of the library today, and you'll be glad you did. You can check in there. Now, if somebody wanted to call and find out about Friends of the Library, do they call just the main number at the library?
Yes, you would call 941-4650 and ask about joining the Friends of the Library.
That's right. And go online. What's the website for the library?
It's www.greenwoodcountylibrary.org. It's a very long address, but it is so easy to remember.
That's right. So check out some of the programs and some of the things you can download and some of the things you can check out. And shoot, learn a language. Why not? It's summertime.
Especially if you can learn pirate.
That's right. Arr! That's going to do it for today's show. Prudence Taylor, thanks so much for coming out today.
Thank you for having me, Ann. Yes, it's been a pleasure.
All right. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.